Yes, I have to change this a little bit. Good morning, good morning. I'm going to blame the clock on the wall for being slow. Not really. Pastor just reminded me it is 9:20. So let's get started with our hymn sing. And does someone out there have a favorite hymn already selected? Oh, yes. Go ahead, Mary. 374. I heard 374. 374, 1 and 4, Standing on the Promises, verses 1 and 4 of 374. Request. I'm flipping pages. Oh, I heard 374. Didn't we just do that? 347. I'm like, that sounds really familiar. I think that. Okay. 347, the Spirit Song, and it has two verses, so we'll sing them both. 347.
Heart and sadness.
723, shall we gather at the river? 723 verses 1 and 4. Yes, Susan?
536.
536. And this will be our final hymn for him seeing. 536. And I'm not there yet. Precious Name, one and two of 536. Kathy's ringing our bell now. Thank you. We'll now continue our worship service.
Thank you. Thank you, Colleen. Good morning and welcome to the United Methodist Church of Yucaipa, the House of Faith. It's great to see everyone out there today and those of you on Zoom. Please remember to sign in on the red pew pads. And just a reminder that there are blue cards in front of you that you can write a prayer on and put in the plate as you leave the church, and our prayer warriors will pray on those for you. And then please join us for coffee and fellowship after church. And now for our announcements. This is the first week of April, so we want to wish our April birthday people happy birthdays. And this month we have Edna Barrett, Deb Davidson, Tim Mertz, Darlene Coleman, Bill Harps, Judith Wheeler, Nancy Reisler, Lorena Van Winkle, David Brown, and Charles Stroll. Shall we sing to them?
My friend, happy birthday to you.
And the April newsletter is available now on the Narthex, so you can pick one up as you leave. The next pastor's luncheon will take place on April 10th at noon at the Legend 8 Chinese restaurant in Kalamasa. And the cost will be $15 per person. Please sign up in the fellowship hall if you are going to be coming.
It's and this Wednesday, folks. This yes. Wednesday.
This Wednesday, okay. Yes. It does. And please give money to the Good Samaritan Fund, or you can give a straighter script card. And the money is used to help those who are less fortunate with food. And on that same note, we are the cereal church. So at any time that you can, please donate a few boxes of cereal. It doesn't necessarily have to just be cereal. You can do canned food goods, any other food items, or even a Stater's script card. And then at the end of the month, it'll be given to the ICSC so it can be distributed to those families that are in need. And Stephen Mickle is looking for gently used casual adult clothing. As before, so if you want to go through your closets and maybe there's some clothes you haven't worn in a long time, please bring them and they'll be put to good use. And I want to mention the Hearts Grow program, which is the second and fourth Sunday, so that would be next Sunday. Children can come before the sermon and stay until the end of fellowship time. And of course, parents are welcome to join us. And the book club meets in the Chameleon Room and on Zoom on April 16th at 10 a.m. And this month's book is The Heaven and Earth Grocery Store. Next month will be The Art Thief. And next are Put It Together Gathering. If you like to quilt, crochet, knit, craft, or create, please join with friends in the Matthews Room. And the last spring meeting will be April 20th from 9:30 a.m. to 4 p.m. And note that they will not be meeting over the summer months. So this is your, this is your last chance until the fall. And then I also noticed that the next Saturday matinee is one of my favorite movies of all time, The Dead Poets Society. And that'll be May 4th at 11 a.m. in Faith Theater 2. If you haven't seen this movie, you really should check it out. It's a great film. Okay, any other announcements? No? Okay, please stand as you're able and join me in the call to worship. Keep me safe, O God. I've run for dear life to you.
I say to God, be my Lord. Without you, nothing makes sense.
My choice is you, God, first and only, and now I find I'm your choice.
Day and night, I'll stick with God. I've got a good thing going, and I'm not letting go.
And our opening hymn today is number 156, I Love to Tell the Story. Still standing, please pass the peace to your neighbor and friends.
Peace to you, Pastor.
Alrighty, let's welcome all those who have come to be with us at the comfort of their home. Hello, Helen. So good to see you. And hello to June and Joyce. Hello, hello. And Bill and April. And Mike and Carol. And Christine is with us on Zoom. Welcome, welcome.
It's now our time for the sharing of joys and concerns. Please raise your hand and Deb will give you the mic.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Tomorrow's the big day. We have our first visit with the oncologist. We don't know if it's just a consultation or she's actually going to start her chemotherapy. We do know that whatever happens is all part of God's plan for us. Thank you.
Good morning, I'm Lori Pertell, and I have a few quick items. First of all, a joy that my brother and his wife and their dog, Artie, made it from Mesquite to Bozeman, Montana before the snow hit. So they're back at their home. They've been visiting with my mom for a month, but I'm very thankful for their safe return. And then a couple of prayer requests, please. A childhood friend of mine back in Montana, her nephew, 24-year-old young man, committed suicide this last month. And her sister, of course, the family's devastated. So please keep the Fox and D'Amico family in your prayers, the Fox and D'Amico family. Mm-hmm. And finally, I know Nancy Reitzler is still on our prayer request, but Mark and I actually play pickleball with their neighbors. And so their neighbor Busha was telling me that Nancy's really, really struggling in Maine or two, and they could certainly use all our prayers. So thank you.
I have sort of a joy this morning. There's about 70 pounds of oranges in the fellowship hall. please take some.
And on a correlating note, Charles Stroll also brought in some lemons. So there's great stuff out there. Please help yourself. All that vitamin C is great this time of year.
Alita Kirker here. I first of all want to thank you for all your prayers. As you know, since January, I've been in and out of the hospital. I've had a very difficult case of diverticulitis. Difficult in that most of the antibiotics that normally target that, I was allergic to and had very bad allergic reactions that left me with some devastating side effects of dehydration, vertigo, and other things. At last, after all this time, they finally found a sort of a cocktail that is working on it. So we thought I was going to have a colostomy, but it looks like the infection is going away. So hopefully I've avoided that. I still have a ways to go, but thank you for your continued prayers.
Yes, glad to hear the report.
Hi, my name's Pat Shores. I've had a couple of joys, actually three. I can't even think what they are, but I'm grateful that I got to go down to see the babies, not just once this weekend, but twice. Every time I see them, they're cuter than the time before. So you can imagine from Friday to Saturday, they got cuter. And I'm sure next week they'll be cuter still. Anyway, that's my best joy, is every week I get to see those little babies. I'm grateful that people are bringing in fruit. I just love oranges, and growing up, I think we had 8 or 9 trees, plus a whole lot of other fruit trees, but I used to have 3 or 4 oranges every day. And I think they're wonderful, and I appreciate the people who are bringing in fruit.
And I'd like to ask for continued prayers for Rachel. And if there's anyone on Zoom, please raise your hand and unmute.
Okay. Please join me now in the unison prayer. Dear Lord Jesus, as the disciples became downcast after the crucifixion, we sometimes face discouraging realities. We exert all our strength to make a difference, but our efforts end in vain. We feel like a tiny boat in the stormy sea of Galilee, being tossed about aimlessly. But your presence protects and guides us. You even go before us and prepare a table for our comfort and rest. Grant us faith to hold on to you at all costs, for you are in our Galilees. For your name's sake, amen.
Let us continue our prayers, upholding all the loved ones that God has placed in our life. We know where they are in life. We know their need. Let us bring our prayers for them as we pray together in silence. Lord Jesus, we come before your presence once more. We come by faith, acknowledging that you are the risen Christ. You overcame the power of sin and death and rose again victoriously. We know that your presence is eternal. You are with us. You will go with us until the very end. And because of your presence, O Lord, we can meet all the challenges that this life brings. We may be discouraged like the disciples were. We may struggle to overcome all the challenges that this life brings. But, O Lord, with you in our life, we can fight on and we can overcome them all in your name. So, Lord, give us this assurance that you are the risen Christ, that you are with us today and forever. And may we continue on with this assurance. May we always be certain have this certainty of victory. We may struggle right now. We may feel like failing. But, O Lord, we know that in the end, we will all be victorious as we hold on to your presence in this life and in the life to come. So we ask you to come unto us through your Holy Spirit, through the power of your Holy Spirit, and restore our faith. Give us this certainty of hope, hope for today and the future, that we may continue on with faith and joy that we have found in you. As you are in our life, O Lord, you are the very dominant force to lead us on. You are the sovereign God. You are the master planner of our journey, and you shape our lives according to your plan. So, Lord, to you once more we yield and ask you to continue to use us for your glory. So now we join our prayers together as you taught us to pray. Praying, our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever. Amen.
Our next hymn, it can be found in your bulletin. It's an insert. It is called All the Way My Savior Leads. Our scripture reading today is from the New Testament, the book of John, chapter 21, verses 1 through 14. Jesus appears to seven disciples. After these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples by the Sea of Tiberias, and he showed himself in this way. Gathered there together were Simon Peter, Thomas, called the twin, Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, the son of Zebedee, and two other of his disciples. Simon Peter said to them, "I am going fishing." They said to him, "We will go with you." They went out and got into the boat, but that night they caught nothing. Just after daybreak, Jesus stood on the beach, but the disciples did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to them, "Children, you have no fish, have you?" They answered him, "No." He said to them, "Cast the net to the right side of the boat, and you will find some." So they cast it, and now they were not able to haul it in because there were so many fish. That disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, "It is the Lord." When Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he put on his outer garment, for he had taken it off, and jumped into the sea. But the other disciples came in the boat, dragging the net full of fish, for they were not far from the land, only about 100 yards off. When they had gone ashore, they saw a charcoal fire there with fish on it and bread. Jesus said to them, "Bring some of the fish that you have just caught." So Simon Peter went aboard and hauled the net ashore, full of large fish, 153 of them. And though there were so many, the net was not torn. Jesus said to them, "Come and have breakfast." Now none of the disciples dared to ask him, "Who are you?" because they knew it was the Lord. Jesus came and took the bread and gave it to them and did the same with the fish. This was now the third time that Jesus appeared to the disciples after he was raised from the dead. The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God. Good morning to you all. So good to see you. I'm not usually here right after Easter, but today is the Communion Sunday, and I am so happy to see you all of you very faithful worshipers here in this beautiful sanctuary and online, and I pray that wherever you are, I pray that you will have a personal visit from the Holy Spirit and receive God's healing touch and hear God's message speaking to you. An overbearing mother nagged his son to get married for a while. The son finally found the girl, fell madly in love, and decided to marry her. Before telling it to his mom, he was afraid that his mom would disapprove of the girl. He cleverly devised a plan to introduce the girl to his mom. He would bring her with two other girls who were not as pretty as his girl was to his house. It would give him a better chance for his mom to affirm his relationship and even compliments that he chose a pretty one. With confidence, he broke the news to his mom. "I'm going to bring three women over to the house tomorrow night, and you have to try and guess which one I'm going to marry." "I'm looking forward to it," the mother said excitedly. The following evening, the son ushered three charming ladies who were well-dressed for the occasion into the living room and asked them to sit down. "Now," he asked his mother, "which one do you think is the woman I'm going to marry?" "The one in the middle," replied his mother without hesitation. The son was thrilled that his plan had worked and said, "You are amazing, Mom. How did you know?" The mother cried, "Because I don't like her." Bias and preference can negatively affect relationship, as in the mother's case. The poor girl did not do anything distasteful to the mom yet, but the mom already made up her mind. One may be perfect and is ready for relationship, but building a relationship is hard if the other party sees his or her counterpart through a lens of prejudice. The good news is that God does not relate to us like people do. We are people with many flaws. God knows our flaws inside and out, and yet does not reject us. He still loves us and uses us for God's kingdom here on earth. Let's take Peter, for example. Peter was very hot-tempered, maybe because of his background in commercial fishing, which he had to survive in a rough and unpredictable working environment. Peter had an issue of impulsivity. After Jesus was transfigured, Peter hastily suggested to Jesus that they would build shelters up on the mountain and stay there instead of going down and continuing Jesus' ministry. Right after Peter famously confessed that Jesus was the Messiah and the Son of the Living God, he rebuked Jesus when Jesus disclosed his crucifixion. "Never, Lord," he said, "this shall never happen to you." Jesus' response to Peter was, "Get behind me, Satan. You are a stumbling block to me. You do not have in mind the concerns of God, but merely human concerns." When Roman soldiers came to arrest Jesus, Peter wielded his sword and cut off the ear of the chief priest's servant. Peter disowned Jesus at stake 3 times. Rest of the disciples had personality issues and weren't faithful. They were scared and scattered and let Jesus go through torture and crucifixion all by himself. Wouldn't Jesus have known their flaws when he called them? There is no question that Jesus did. As God, Jesus knows everything. But let us do some human reasoning. The Gospels record that Jesus knew them so well that he predicted Peter's denial, his disciples running away, and their return to Galilee. That's what we read this morning. Chapter 21 of John's Gospel. Hint at what led disciples back to Galilee. The gospel lesson says Sea of Tiberias, but the Tiberias is another name for Sea of Galilee. See how the chapter begins. Jesus appeared again. That's how it began. Jesus appeared again to his disciples. And then on verse 14, the end of the scripture reading, says, "This was now the third time Jesus appeared to his disciples after he was raised from the dead." John's gospel seemed to emphasize the timing of the disciples' return to Galilee. It would have been understandable if they returned to Galilee right after Jesus was arrested and crucified. Because Jesus was arrested and was crucified, they were filled with fear and they want to run for their life. But the timing of their return here clearly indicates they returned to Galilee after disciples met the resurrected Jesus, not once, but twice. They saw with their own eyes the risen Christ before themselves. What does this timing disclose? Their return did not necessarily have to do with Jesus' sudden death and fear. Trying to settle back in Galilee while their Lord was still alive and well was associated with their old habit of doubting and their ongoing problem of faithlessness. On a more serious note, their return to Galilee meant desertion of their commitment as disciples. In modern terms, absent without official leave, absent from where they should be. Jesus knew their weaknesses and flaws all along and could have disqualified them. In human terms, betrayal and abandonment sever relationships forever. Nonetheless, Jesus embraced them as his own and cared for them. How do we understand Jesus being so forgiving and kind-hearted? We can find an answer from the fact that Jesus used to be a carpenter for decades before he began his public ministry. Remember the story of Jesus in his hometown of Nazareth? His marvelous teachings and the manifestation of miraculous powers amazed his hometown folks because he wasn't the same Jesus they used to know. They said, "We know all his brothers and sisters, his mother and father very well. He is the carpenter as his father is." They took offense at Jesus, and Jesus said that a prophet is not without honor except in his hometown. The Gospels do not talk about what Jesus did from his childhood until he became 30 years old. But this story of Jesus in his hometown ascertains that Jesus was publicly known as a carpenter in his hometown. What kind of carpenter Jesus would have been? Joseph's being a carpenter gives some clues. Jesus would have watched and learned from Joseph from early childhood. Because of his early training, he would have already become a master carpenter as soon as he became physically fit, probably in his teenage years. Considering that Jesus is the Son of God, he would have corrected Joseph from early childhood and was far superior carpenter to Joseph in every aspect. Speaking of carpentry, it is one of the oldest trades, along with blacksmithing, pottery, scribes, and tax collectors. It has been essential since people needed to build shelters in the ancient times. Building the enormous wooden ark structure before the flood, the sophisticated portable tabernacle, the grandiose Jerusalem temple, and sturdy Jerusalem wall in the Old Testament include carpentry. Carpenters were highly skilled artisans, well-versed in wood, stone, and metal. Because their skill always rely on rulers and measurement for accuracy, carpentry was regarded as an honest trade. People respected carpenters and asked them for measurement and judgment in the old times. Jesus demonstrated all these traits of the carpenter. I'm sure you have seen the bumper sticker that says, "My boss is a Jewish carpenter." Jesus is not just an average, but the highest skilled carpenter, master builder, and craftsman. Jesus knew his disciples were defective materials. Even after the disciples saw the risen Christ, they doubted Jesus and returned to their old profession to sustain their lives. Jesus still did not disqualify them, but showed them his love and care. The disciples must have been greatly comforted and encouraged when Jesus met them at the shore of Galilee and prepared breakfast for them. You know, meals are a great comfort for someone exhausted and hungry. The menu was a broiled fish, which was soul food for those Galileans. Jesus was like a caring mother to his disciples. A skilled craftsman knows how to utilize defective building materials. Jesus, the master craftsman, knows all our flaws and suitable places where we can be used and shaped us to fit in building God's kingdom here on earth. Lastly, Jesus, our master carpenter, knows how to mend our brokenness. The confidence of those commercial fishermen was completely shattered in the morning when they could not catch a thing. Flaws inevitably result in failures. Failures of the disciples' effort apart from Jesus were preordained. But Jesus appeared to them right at the heightened moment of their failure and helped them recover all their losses and succeed. I found a very pretty poem on a website, and I'd like to share that with you. It's called The Carpenter of Nazareth. In Nazareth, the narrow road that tires the feet and stills the breath passes the place where once abode the carpenter of Nazareth. And up and down the dusty way, the village folk would often wend. And on the bench beside him lay their broken things for him to mend. The maiden with a doll she broke, the woman with a broken chair, the man with a broken plow or yoke said, "Can you mend it, carpenter?" And each received the things he sought, in yoke or plow or chair or doll. The broken things which each had brought returned again a perfect whole. So up the hill the long years through, with heavy step and wistful eye, the burdened souls their way pursue, uttering each the plaintive cry. O carpenter of Nazareth, this heart that's broken past repair, this life that's shattered nigh to death, oh, can you mend them, carpenter? The risen Christ is with us, working in our lives despite our flaws. With patience, he shapes us to fit perfectly in his kingdom-building projects. Jesus, as the master carpenter, mends our brokenness and makes us whole. Amen. I'd like to invite all of you at this time to come to the table of God's mercy. The Lord be with you. Lift up your heart. We lift them up to the Lord. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is right to give our thanks and praise. It is right and a good and joyful thing, always and everywhere, to give thanks to you, Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. And so, with your people on earth and all the company of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Holy are you, and blessed is your Son, Jesus Christ. By the baptism of his suffering, death, and resurrection, you gave birth to your church, delivered us from slavery to sin and death, and made with us a new covenant by water and the Spirit. On the night in which he gave himself up for us, he took bread, gave thanks to you, broke the bread, gave it to his disciples, and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." When the supper was over, he took the cup, gave thanks to you, gave it to his disciples, and said, "Drink from this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." So in remembrance of these your mighty acts in Jesus Christ, we offer ourselves in praise and thanksgiving as a holy and living sacrifice in union with Christ's offering for us as we proclaim the mystery of faith. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. Pour out your Holy Spirit on us gathered here, and on these gifts of bread and wine, make them be for us the body and the blood of Christ, that we may be for the world the body of Christ, redeemed by his blood. By your Spirit, make us one with Christ, one with each other, and one in ministry to all the world, until Christ comes in final victory, and we feast at his heavenly banquet. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, with the Holy Spirit in your holy church, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever. Amen. As we partake in the broken pieces of bread, let us remember the body of Christ Jesus, broken for us, for our salvation. Now, we may have individual cups to drink from, but the cup that we hold is the symbol of the cup that Jesus gave to all his disciples, to all of us, reminding us that Jesus shed his blood, even to the very last drop. He gave up completely for the forgiveness of our sins. So let us now, with thanksgiving, take the bread and drink from the cup. Every time we remember your cross, your sacrificial death to forgive our sins, we are grateful. We are grateful once more, Lord, for what you did in Calvary. Thank you, Lord, for this wonderful reminder of your unconditional love. In Jesus' name, amen.
It is now time for the presentation of our tithes and offerings. You can place them in the plate as you leave the sanctuary, or bring them to the office, or mail them to the office. And we have special offertory music today from David Brown, Bruce Crabtree, and Colleen.
Thank you, Lord, for your sacrifices, for the new life that you have given unto us through the forgiveness of our sins. So we give you thanksgiving and this offering. We ask you to bless it, that it may be used for the ministry of your kingdom. In Jesus' name, amen.
Today's closing hymn is number 364, Because He Lives.
Came to love. grave is there to prove my Savior lives. Because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Because he lives, all fear is gone. Because I know just because he lives, how sweet to hold a newborn baby and filled of pride and joy he gives. But greater still, there'll come assurance. This child can face uncertain days because he lives. Because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Because he lives, all fear is gone. Because I know life is worth the living just because he lives. And then one day I'll cross the river. I'll fight life's final war with pain. And then as gives way to victory, I'll see the lights of glory, and I know he reigns. Because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Because he lives, all fear is gone. Because I know he holds the future, and life is worth the living just because he lives.
Let us pray. Thank you, Lord Jesus, of your acceptance of us. In spite of our shortcomings and flaws, you have been so gracious and generous for using us. And you are still working in our lives patiently to make us what we should be. So here we are committing ourselves to do your will in our lives and in the world today. Continue to use us, O Lord, the way you see it fit for your glory. And we are committing ourselves to be your disciples in this world today. So, Lord Jesus, send us forth with this confidence of your presence in our lives, and send us forth in your peace. In Jesus' name, amen.
Oh, now in peace, never be afraid. God will go with you each hour. Day. Go now in faith, steadfast, strong, and true. Oh, he will guide you in all you do. Oh, now in faith. world can see, God will be there, watching from above. Oh, now in heaven.